If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at the wise men. The theme today, beautiful sanctuary, wow. The theme today is peace, our Advent theme, and I'm talking about the search for peace. In Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during this time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is the prophet, what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Huh. Yeah, right, Herod. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. But join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, what joy it is. Someday we'll all be in heaven and celebrating will never stop. But how wonderful it is to be here with our Coastline family today. We thank you for Pastor Neil. We thank you for him and his family and the beautiful family and the beautiful fit they are to this church. And we give you glory and praise. Bless him and comfort his mother and family as he's lost his father and stepfather. And we just ask for your hand of mercy in that situation today. And we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Anoint this message that it will bear fruit in all of our lives as we speak about the search for peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The search for peace. Shalom. Sherry and I went to Israel, I guess back in May when we were still here. Yeah. And, you know, shalom is a blessing of coming and going. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom has a lot of depth of meaning to it, as we know. It's not only the absence of war, but it's wholeness, fulfillment, it's safety, it's well-being, health, salvation, all the good things. When you say shalom, you're blessing in body, soul, mind, and spirit. You are encouraging. Shalom, shalom. And we're talking about the search for peace today, the search for shalom. And the wise men were on that search. We live in a world that's kind of crazy, huh? We need peace. We need peace for personal traumas. I got a call today from someone I was pastor of 12 years ago and past that. From up in Northern California, a call this week. Devastated. Her son had been killed under crazy circumstances. Another call from someone I used to pastor. Someone that was an exchange student in their home has gotten involved in a cult and wanted prayer, wanted to know how to deal with it and what I thought about it. Those are just personal things. Sitting in an auditorium like this, you think of all the different needs there are and so many needs for peace, for resolving disputes and reconciling broken relationships and healing of bodies and restorations of souls. Peace, the search for peace. We certainly need the peace. We live in a crazy world. North Korea could getting to where they could send a missile anywhere in the United States. You think about EMPs and what would happen. Those are the things that the explosion above the country could wipe out the entire electric grid across the country. 90% of Americans would be dead in the first year, they estimate. And we live in a world that's crazy. So you look at the need for peace, there's a confusion about truth and spirituality, about right and wrong. There's so much need for that search, for the finding of shalom, a blessing that includes, as I said, health, wholeness, well-being, prosperity, fulfillment, victory over enemies, completeness, safety. Who wouldn't want that? Our text this morning, we see the Magi, or the wise men, coming from the east, a long journey, possibly from Babylon, which was, I think, 800 miles away. If they averaged 20 miles a day, that would be 40-day journey. A lot of undertaking to search for a child born to be king, a child of promise and hope, not just for Israel, but for the world, all the world, the search for a baby born to be the king of shalom. Perhaps as wise men who were trained in all kinds of things, some of which we would frown upon and do because of biblical truth, we frown upon astrology and some of the occultic practices that some of the wise men and magi were involved in Babylon and Persia and on. But these men were also familiar with the Jewish prophecies, because the Jews in the exile had taken Hebrew scriptures, and they were able to become aware. They studied the sacred scriptures of the different religions. And so they had seen, perhaps in Numbers chapter 24:17, a star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter or rod of rule will arise in Israel. See, there was an expectancy, a star shall come out. Now we know the Star of Bethlehem wasn't your typical star or a comet or something like that that would have some natural explanation, because it actually led the wise men eventually over the house of where Jesus was staying. They arrived at least several months after Jesus was born. It wasn't like they all showed up like we see in our nativity scenes. It was later. They saw the star, and there was this hunger, this thirst that the world must experience. The king of shalom. Here's the king that's to be born in Judah. And it wasn't just the king of Israel that they went to see and worship. They were not Israelites. They were Gentiles. They were representatives of the whole Gentile world. They were representatives of all the nations. And here they are. Now, God, was he affirming their occultic practices, if they were into astrology? No. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it clear, like in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19, if I can find that quickly. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has appointed to all the nations under heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of Egypt to be the people of his inheritance. In other words, don't look to the created order. Don't look to things and stars and tea leaves and the occult and all. Don't look to those things to guide your life and your future. Look to the God who created everything. Look to the God who made us in his image, the God who loves us so much, the God who sent this king whose kingdom would never end. Look to him. So God wasn't affirming their astrology, if they were into that. We know they were astronomers, And we know that God's Word talked about signs in the heavens. And some people, like, they ascribe prophetic significance to different comets. You know, every time there's a comet, you'll hear about this religious group over here saying, this is the end, this is the end. I'm a little skeptical of those kinds of things. I think we're not going to have any doubts when He comes back. The Bible says it's going to be like lightning that crosses the sky from the east to the west. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. How we look for that day when the King of Shalom comes on the clouds of heaven for every eye to see. And He rolls up the scroll and He fulfills what this is all about. And the kingdom of God is established forever and ever. Isn't that going to be a great day? It's going to be an awesome day. Well, the wise men got to Jerusalem. They caused quite a stir, particularly with King Herod. He had been appointed king by Rome, and he was a ruthless ruler. Where the wise men were of sincere heart searching for a king, a baby who is destined to be king and be a uniter of the world and bring peace and all the good things, you know, they're sincere in heart and looking for that king to worship. Herod, on the other hand, says, let me know when you find him. Let me know. I want to come worship him too. Yeah. You know, hearing about another king was such a threat to Herod, he could not handle it. As a matter of fact, he was such a terrible leader. Any threat to his throne or authority or power, he would kill. He killed his own wife, several of his sons, and anybody that was a threat, or even an imagined threat. He was a bad person. We know that after Jesus was born, he told the wise men, after you find him, come back and tell me where he is. They had a dream and said, don't do that. Go on home the way you came, another way. But Herod, he sent people to kill all the boys 2 years of age and younger just to make sure he would get Jesus. Make sure he would get this baby who is king. He missed. God had given a dream, the flight to Egypt. He missed. And we know that Jesus got out of the way. But he was a horrible ruler who pretended to support. Bethlehem was the place of Jesus' birth. It means house of bread. House of bread. We know Jesus is the bread of life, don't we? And he came there. Micah 5:2 in the Old Testament prophesies, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So Magi show up and say, we've come to worship the king. And Herod sends them to the scribes and the priests who knew the Old Testament prophecies, and they said, go to Bethlehem. And that's where they found Jesus. Now, the wise men, again, represent all the people of goodwill, those who are seekers of truth, all the Gentiles. You know, but the Bible says, even in the Old Testament, my house, God's house, will be called a house of prayer for all nations. We know that God's heart was for all the nations of the world, that he didn't choose Israel just so that Israel could be chosen and elect by themselves. He chose Israel to be the instruments through whom the entire world and all the peoples and all the kingdoms, all the peoples of the world would know God's love and enter into God's family. So the wise men found Jesus, a baby born to be king, and they knelt before him in joyous and reverent worship. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus said later, all authority is given me in heaven and on earth. And therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. All the nations. You know, they found Jesus. There's another search that I think relates to us in our lives. King Solomon's search. He said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 3. He said, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for people to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. In other words, he was seeking for what fulfills, what satisfies, what is that full life? What is the shalom? What ties everything together? And in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, he sought wisdom, knowledge, mysteries, heavens and the universe. He was a scientist who studied botany and biology. He was a philosopher. He wrote 3,000 proverbs in his pursuit of wisdom. The Queen of Sheba came to visit him because of his reputation, and the Bible says he took her breath away in all that he did and said. He was amazing in all the pursuits that he had. He said he pursued pleasure in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, laughter, wine, folly. He went on spending sprees. He went after the life of hedonism. He said, I denied myself nothing that my heart desired. He accomplished great projects, built palaces, temples, houses, parks, gardens, vineyards, reservoirs, groves of trees. He had great wealth. The Bible says that silver was as plentiful as rocks on the ground, and gold was as plentiful as silver. He was the richest king in the world. He pursued music, choirs, orchestras, arts. He composed 1,005 songs. He pursued romantic love. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Oh, hello, I'm King Solomon. Who are you? I'm your wife. We were married 3 years ago. I refused my heart no pleasure. You know, he had no if-onlys as far as the pursuits. You know what people in the world pursue? Riches, fame, pleasure. He had it all to the max. But you know what he said at the end of this search? He said, as I looked at everything I had tried, it was all so useless. A chasing after the wind. Empty. Vanity. Meaningless. Everything under the sun, mean everything under and not counting God, ends up empty. Ends up empty. You know, he really messed up. He really messed up. We see the two conclusions he reached. One of those was everything is empty under the sun. And the other is remember God before it's too late. You think about someone that was blessed with that kind of knowledge and wisdom and resources and how he betrayed the God of his father and his own God who had called him to be a king. And he built temples for his pagan wives and worshiped them. You know, being affluent and having all that you want in life, it can make you feel like you don't need God. Praise God for the times in your life when you know you need God. Hopefully that day will never end, even if you're wealthy and have everything you need, because our dependence on God is what gives us wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have a right mindset. We know that we're nothing without God. We know that He's entrusted to us as His stewards everything that we have. And Solomon blew it. He says, remember God. Yes. Remember God in the search. Remember Him. Center your life around Him. You know, he had no, like I said, no if-onlys as far as earthly pursuits go. Do you know anybody wealthy enough that they can pursue anything they want to without any restraint? A lot of times people go, if only I could get married, you know, if you're a single person. Honey, it was good that we got married, right? We've been married almost 47 years. I think I told you. I was 8 and she was 6. You remember, I think I told you. But you know, marriage is not the panacea. It's not like shalom has come because you're married. Two becoming one is not just a little simple walk in the park. It takes work. It takes dying to self. You know, I used to joke and say, you know, we had a lot of trouble starting off, but she's come a long way. But she found an answer for that. Yeah, but Clay still has a way to go. You know, you look at the pursuits that people have, these movie stars, they think they've arrived. You walk through their lives in Beverly Hills and you look, they're bankrupt. Our culture's unraveling with the filth and debauchery. Garbage. They look good. They do their surgeries to, you know, make themselves stay young. You know, okay, you know, I've had 3 or 4. No, I'm kidding. But I tell you, inside, so much corruption. And these things that people pursue are so dead end under the sun without God. Just listen to this. In a book called Success Motivation in the Scriptures, William Cook describes a meeting a long time ago in 1923 of a group of business tycoons. They controlled unthinkable sums of money. For years, the media had trumpeted their success stories. On this day in Chicago, they assembled to enjoy their mutual success. Dr. Cook relates what happened to these men in the years that followed. Charles Schwab, the president of the largest independent steel company, lived on borrowed money the last years of his life, and he died penniless. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, served time in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall, a member of the president's cabinet, was pardoned from prison so he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear on Wall Street, committed suicide, as did Leon Fraser, the president of the Bank of International Settlement, as did Ivor Kruger, head of the world's greatest monopoly. The success they celebrated proved illusory. So the search for shalom, finding true peace. You know, the wise men end up at the feet of Jesus, offering their best, honoring him. That is the place of peace, the place of shalom. That is the place we all belong. Finding true peace and shalom in Christ. We find it first at his cradle. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Out of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest. You'll find peace. You'll find shalom. You'll find all the good things. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Prince of Peace. Second, we find true peace and shalom through the cross. Through the cross of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and following. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has broken down the dividing walls of hostility and made the two into one. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Through his cross, we find that shalom. And through, under his crown, under his kingship, under his lordship, again back to Isaiah chapter 9. Says, of the increase of government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign as king. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. In other words, the kingship of King Jesus, King of Shalom, will never end. So the cradle, the cross, and the crown, that's where we find true peace, in Jesus Christ. Will you serve this King of Shalom? Are you far away this morning? Like, you know, the wise men started far, far away. Far away, religiously, spiritually. But where they ended up, I have a dear friend. You know how that person came to the Lord? She was using a Ouija board with a friend. Not good. Opens the door for demonic things. Evil spirits are unfortunately real and wreak havoc in people's lives. That person started far from God, but you know what happened? God interjected himself and said, get off this Ouija board. I'm God. Turn to Christ. He said it through the Ouija board. That person repented. That person's my wife. I'm probably in trouble because I didn't get permission to tell you that. But you know, God didn't approve of the methods the wise men chose, but he approved of the heart to search the truth. And he approved where they ended up, at the feet of Jesus, offering themselves and their best gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Sherry started far off, as I did, but we ended up at the feet of Jesus, forgiven, cleansed, made whole, blessed, favored, shalom. Shalom from the Prince of Peace. I remember I came to the Lord in December of my senior year of college. I'd grown up in the Episcopal Church, which was kind of ritualistic and no relationship, just kind of a dead religion in that particular church. But I got born again reading the New Testament. I waited several days before Christmas break had already started to finish a paper about Jesus. And I just fell in love with Jesus. He jumped out of the Bible and into my heart. And I went home and went to the candlelight communion service of the Episcopal Church in my hometown in Bluefield, West Virginia. And for the first time in my life, I read those words that I'd read many times growing up in the rituals. It meant absolutely nothing to me. But now Jesus, the Prince of Peace, lived in my heart. And Jesus had been born inside of me. And I'm reading those words that were penned many, many years ago. And I'm going, oh my goodness. And I started weeping because Jesus was born in my heart. And all of those words made sense to me for the first time in my life. Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, Prince of Peace. What better person, what better cause to give your lives to give your all to make your life count for? We start maybe far off. Maybe you're far away today. Maybe you believe intellectually, but you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never bowed your knee and offered yourself and the best that you have to Him and said, Lord, I'm yours. I want to make a difference in this world. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Use me to make a difference. Use me to make a difference. Do you have that personal relationship with Christ? That's what it's all about. Jesus was born so that you and I could know the Prince of Peace, could have that fulfillment and that wholeness and eternal life. I'll close with a story. In the year 1247 AD, a hospital was founded in England called St. Mary of Bethlehem. 2 centuries later, it was converted into a hospital for the insane. In those days, the mentally ill were mistreated terribly. They were chained up. They were abused. And there was no medication like we have today. And that institution became well known throughout England for its noise and confusion. Over time, the original name Bethlehem was gradually shortened to Bedlam. And the word we have, Bedlam, actually comes historically from that. Bedlam, a word that has come into the English language as meaning any place of wild uproar and confusion. It's almost unbelievable that people would take a name such as Bethlehem, which means house of bread, house of sustenance, Jesus, the bread of life. And over time, turn it into Bedlam, confusion disorder. That's what happens in a life like Solomon's when he leaves God out. That's what happens in people's lives if they grow up in church and decide God's not for them anymore. They're going to outgrow God and do their own thing. Bethlehem becomes Bedlam. People all around us, their lives are lived in Bedlam. They have no inner core. They don't know who they really are or why they're on this earth. Their lives are confused. They don't know what's true and false. They don't know what's right and wrong. Everyone shouts different things. How do you get this core? How do you get this truth? I tell you what, you go like the wise men on the search and you find Jesus, born to be king of your life, born to give you peace, shalom, born to give meaning and purpose, born to give you that core that tells you, this is who I am and this is what my life is about, and nothing is going to change that. Because Jesus is my King forever, until my last breath here on the earth and into eternity. He's the one. He's the one. Prince of Peace. Let's pray together.